Good morning. I would want to encourage you as this new year starts that if you want to really get connected into this church and get to know some people, the very best way to do that is through one of our small groups. And, you know, we've got a bunch of them on Sunday mornings. We're just starting some new ones next week. There's also groups in homes. I want to encourage you to make that, if you're going to make New Year's resolutions, make it a resolution to get connected into the church, and it makes a huge difference in the way God can work in your life. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase used, consider the source? Usually when somebody says that, they mean it in a negative way. Like if somebody is trash talking and saying something really negative, you might say, well, consider the source. In other words, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's a fool. Don't pay attention to him. Consider the source. Yesterday, I was playing racquetball with my two sons. They're 24 and 26 years old. And we were playing cutthroat, which means that you each play against the two others. And after I won the first two games, I told them, you know, it's pretty appropriate that I win because, you know, I'm like older than both of you put together. In other words, I was kind of trash-talking them, and they're thinking, you know, yeah, consider the source. But today I want to use the phrase a little bit differently and flip it around and talk about God as our source and how when we're making decisions, we need to consider the source. You see, it'll change everything in your life if instead of approaching life by only considering your circumstances, if you instead, you know, and you know what? That's what most of us do, isn't it? We consider our circumstances. We try to figure things out and make decisions based on our circumstances. But if instead you consider the source of everything, how different would things be? So as we start talking about this, let's go right back to the beginning of things. Genesis 1, verse 1. First verse in the whole Bible. In the beginning, God. Now, notice it doesn't say, in the beginning, Ken, or in the beginning, then your name. No, it starts with the source. God wants you to know right from the start that he's the one who got this whole thing started. And so before we read about any of the other characters in the Bible, we're going to start with the one who has the starring role. God is the source. And Genesis goes on and tells us how God created everything. And over again it says God spoke and then it was. God spoke and then it was. He said something, and then stuff appeared based on what he said. He was the source of it all. For example, in verse 11 of Genesis, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. God said it, and it was so. Then a few verses later, verse 20, it says, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. Again, God said it, and it was so. Then skipping to verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image and our likeness. So God makes all this other stuff, and then he speaks again, and he makes you and me. God is the source of it all. And so the whole reason we even come to church is to consider the source. And when we consider the source, we remember that we don't come from ourselves. We owe a debt to one who is beyond us, a debt that we could never repay. We consider the source. And you see, it is just an amazing, unbelievable privilege that we even know who the source is, and second, that we can actually have a personal relationship with our unlimited source. We can actually connect to this unlimited source, and when we do, the power flows, the provision flows, protection becomes evident. We open our eyes to see the source of everything we need. In Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget all the benefits that come from God. That's another way of saying, consider the source of all those benefits. God is the source of it all. Don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his blessings. And it goes on, don't forget that he forgives all of our sins. Don't forget that he heals all your diseases. Don't forget that he redeems your life from the pit. Don't forget that he crowns you with love and compassion. Don't forget who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed by the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. Consider the source. Remember your source, because if you do this each day, it'll change your life. In fact, let me give you three ways this morning that it'll change your life. If you daily consider your source, number one, it will put every situation in proper perspective. You see, when you forget where you came from, when you forget who is the source of your life, then the circumstances in your life seem out of context. And it's difficult to understand, why is this happening to me? It may appear meaningless or random because they're not in perspective. One time the prophet Isaiah is trying to encourage the people of Israel, and they needed encouragement because many of the people had been taken captive to the land of Babylon, and they had these huge, powerful enemies out there. So they needed some words that would give them hope. They needed to hear that you're not going to be here forever. You won't die here in Babylon. It won't always be like this. There's going to be a blessing there that you can't see yet. And in fact, somebody here this morning needs to hear that. Now, you're not in Babylonian captivity, but you are in credit card bondage, or you are in relational purgatory, or you do have something that is holding you down or holding you back, some other situation. And sometimes we need a word to remind us that we're going somewhere. You're not going to be here forever. You're not going to, you know, get stuck. You're still moving. There's still hope. This isn't the end for me. I'm not always going to feel like this. So here's what Isaiah tells them to encourage them. He says, listen to me. You see, we spend so much time listening to other people and listening to other things in our society. God says, listen to me. I am your source. I'm the one who spoke, and it was so. Listen to me, because I'm still speaking to you. He says, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. God is reminding us who made you and who is the source of your life. He says, I'm the one. I cut you from the rock, and I made you. Then he says, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. Now, most of us know about Abraham and Sarah. They were the really old people who shouldn't have been able to have a baby, but God came to them and spoke. And what happens when God speaks? It is so, right? Now, Sarah didn't believe it. She thought it was crazy. She laughed at the idea of having a baby at her age. But there's this thing about God and impossible situations. He goes on here, when I called him, he was only one man, and I blessed him and made him many. There's a phrase that used to be our national motto until 1956, when Congress passed an act and they made In God We Trust our national motto. Anybody know what the motto was before 1956? Anybody? Somebody got it. E pluribus unum. Where would you find that motto? Yeah, it's on the back of all our coins, right? And now, the hard question, what does it mean? Out of many, one. In other words, out of many cultures, one nation. Well, here in Isaiah 51, God has kind of given us his motto for his kingdom, and God says the opposite. He says, out of one, many. God is telling the people of Israel, when you get in a situation, it seems like there is no way out. Just consider the source and remember that I got this thing started with one man. Out of one, many. That's how God works. He starts with a person who's willing to yield their life to him and willing to follow him. And then from their weakness and from their inability, God starts to multiply and brings forth many blessings. He brings forth strength that they never expected. He brings forth healing they didn't even know they needed. He multiplies love and joy and peace to the people around them so that everybody wants what they've got. And God multiplies and expands his kingdom through one person who is willing to follow. Out of one, many. And Isaiah is telling the people, you got to understand something about your history if you want to participate in your destiny. You've got to know that this whole thing started out of one man. This whole thing called faith got started when God found one man. And God said to Abraham, I'm calling you to move to a new place, and I'll show you where it is when you get there. And so Abraham decided to obey and follow God. And Abraham still didn't have any kids, but God wanted to remind Abraham that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine. And so God told Abraham, hey, look up the stars and count them. And Abraham says, I can't count the stars. It's impossible. God says, exactly. And as many as the stars in the heaven, that's how many your descendants are going to be. Abraham, you may be just one man, but I'm the God who created every star that you see up in the sky. And just like I flung those stars up there into space, Abraham, I can take anything in your life, any situation that seems out of control, any situation that seems like a dead end. And Abraham, I can fling many blessings into your life. I can create something out of nothing because I am the unlimited source. And later on, God comes back to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I want you to look down and count all the grains of sand on the seashore. And Abraham says, I can't count the sand. That's impossible. God says, exactly. And as many as are the grains of sand on the seashore, that's as many as your descendants are going to be. In other words, if you look up, you'll see that I'm the source. If you look down, you'll see that I am the source. And the same source that you see when you look up and you look down, that's the same source that is working in you and working for you. And so through Isaiah, God says to those hurting people of Israel, remember what I did for Abraham, because you're not going to be here forever. You're not going to be in the place of difficulty forever. You're not going to be in the place of financial problems forever. You're not going to be in the place of health problems forever. You're not going to be in the place of relationship problems forever. Have faith in me because I am the source. He goes on in verse 3. The Lord will surely comfort Zion, that's the people of God, and will look with compassion on all her ruins. Notice, all her ruins. That's talking about the broken places in your life today. He will make her deserts like Eden. The Garden of Eden was the perfect paradise before sin entered the world. Her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. When you consider the source and remember where you came from, it gives you a perspective for your problems. God is not intimidated by your problems. And as God puts your problems into perspective, you'll begin to look to the rock from which you were cut and realize that if God called Abraham out of nowhere, if God called a nobody from nowhere and created this whole thing that we're part of today, and it all started with one man, I believe that this same God can make something out of nothing in my life. And if you start with the source, instead of starting with your situation, then instead of complaining to God about how big your problem is, you'll get down on your knees and start telling your problem how big God is, and it'll change everything. You see, when you don't consider the source, and when you forget where you came from, then you start with your situation rather than starting with the source. And then your problems start to take preeminence. Now, what else will happen when you consider the source? In other words, when you put God first in your life, when you believe His promises for you and remember His power to provide. The second thing that will happen is it'll keep your mind in perfect peace. Now, maybe you don't need peace in your life, but I do. And maybe you never worry about anything, but some of us do. Jesus, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about different sins like lust and adultery and murder. And right in the middle of that, when he's talking about these horrible things, right in the middle, he starts talking about worry. And he actually puts worry in the same category of sin as adultery. And so Jesus tells him in Matthew 6:25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Notice, do not worry about your life. That pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? He's not just saying, don't worry about your bills, don't worry about your kids, don't worry about getting married, or don't worry about your future. He just lays it all right there from the beginning. He says, don't worry about your life. And then he gets more specific. He says, don't worry about what you will eat and drink. Now, he doesn't say you shouldn't think about it. Just don't worry about it. He doesn't say not to consider or plan for what you eat and drink. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm not supposed to worry about what I eat, and so, you know, I can eat whatever I want. You know, I can gain 300 pounds. God says, don't worry about it. You know, so pass the ice cream. No, that's not what it's saying. He's not talking about here, you know, do anything you want. It's wise to be thoughtful and consider what you do. Just don't worry about it. Or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. He says, look at the birds. Have you noticed how God so many times is trying to get people to look at anything else but themselves? You know, he says, Abraham, look at the stars. Why? Because we tend to get this tunnel vision and all we can see is what's right around us. And God says, would you look up for once? Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How many of you would say, hey, I'm better than a bird? You know, at least I got that going for me. I'm more valuable than that. And God says, yeah, you're much more valuable than that. And then Jesus asks an interesting question. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And of course the answer is no. Now, you can take away hours from your life by worrying because stress is bad for your health. But you can't add a single hour. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, the richest man in the world, in all his splendor, with all his Gucci, was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? People sometimes say that Jesus was such a simple teacher, and he was, but he was also a master teacher. This is called an a priori argument. It's an argument using the lesser to prove the greater. If God will do it for a bird, if God will do it for a flower, will he not much more do it for you, who are much more valuable? You see, God is the source, and if you consider the source, you'll have peace of mind, and you won't have to worry. So Jesus comes back with his command again in verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans, those are the people who don't know God, the pagans run after all these things. Here's a question for you. Why are you running after something that God has already promised to meet in your life? Now, I was worrying about something one time, and I felt like God said to me, do you realize that you're worrying about something that I've already worked out? Do you realize you're worrying about something? I've already worked it out. There's a famous quote from Corrie ten Boom. She says, worry does not empty today of its sorrow. It only empties today of his strength. And so Jesus says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, consider the source. Consider the source. Put God first in your life. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then, guess what will happen? And all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can anybody say amen to that? Each day has enough trouble. We don't need to add any trouble to our days, right? We've got enough. And you see, worry will disconnect you from the source. And so you run away, or run around, look for other stuff to plug into, and you're worrying about, are you going to have enough stuff? Are you going to have the right stuff? Are you going to have the stuff that you really need? And God says, all this time you're running around worrying about stuff, you're disconnected from the source of all the stuff in the universe. If you're worried about something today, if your mind is not at peace, that means you're disconnected from the source. You know, Cheryl's an excellent keyboard player, but you know, if I go over her here to her piano and I disconnect this plug here, then it wouldn't matter how great a piano player she is. She could bang on these keys all day long, and you know, and nobody out there is going to hear a thing. Why? Because she's disconnected from the source. And some of you are living your life like that. You're just banging away on the keys, and you're going, why isn't this working? You know, I don't understand it. I don't know what to do. And it's because you're disconnected from the source. You don't have any power in your life. You got to reconnect to the source and get the power back from the only one who has power. You're disconnected from the source. The most famous sermon that Jesus preached is the Sermon on the Mount, but the most famous story that he ever told is found in Luke chapter 15. It says in verse 1 of Luke 15, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus." And Luke makes sure to mention that because he wants you to know that Jesus wasn't talking to the perfect people. He wasn't talking to the righteous people. He was talking to the sinners and tax collectors. And that's a good thing because none of us in this room are righteous or perfect without God. Jesus spent a lot of time with sinners, and he's right at home with all of us here this morning. You know, sometimes people make comments about, you know, you go to church and there's so many hypocrites there. That's like saying, you know, if you go into the hospital ER, did you know there's sick people there? Well, I hope so. You know, if there's no sinners here, then we need to just close this down, right? Luke 15:11, Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." So notice what's happening. The younger son says, "Give me my stuff." And then he leaves the source of the stuff. And this has happened to you, and it's happened to me. We take the stuff, and we leave the source. And the son says, "I don't want you, I want your stuff." And then he leaves to go figure out life on his own, just like all of us do at some point. He goes to figure out his purpose in life on his own. He goes to figure out pleasure on his own. He goes to figure out sexuality on his own. He disconnects from the source. Now, here's what happens when you do that. In verse 14, after he had spent everything, because if you disconnect from the source, then it's just a matter of time until you reach the bottom of your pile. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. Sometimes this is the best thing that can happen to you. You come to a place of famine so that you finally remember where your true source is. Sometimes we ignore God until something bad happens and we realize, oh, I need God. He's my source. We don't realize until something bad comes along. One time I bought one of my boys for his birthday a bug cage. It's just basically a little frame box with screen on the sides. And then my boys and I went out into the garden to find a cool bug to put in it. We found a praying mantis. And we put the praying mantis in there. And then for the next couple months, we had a fun time catching other bugs. And we stick them in there and watch the praying mantis eat it. Like one time, we found this big, hairy spider in the basement. And, you know, it was scary to even look at it. We captured it. We put it in with the praying mantis. And we honestly weren't sure who's going to eat who because the spider was as big as the praying mantis. And we put it in there, and the mantis is sitting on its little perch in the middle of the cage. And when he sees the spider, he just starts swaying back and forth real slow. It's like he's praying. And he's just swaying back and forth. And the spider's crawling around the edge of the cage looking for a way out. And the mantis is just swaying and praying. And then the spider gets a little bit too close. And zap, faster than you can even see, that mantis has the spider in its jaws. And it starts chowing down on it while it's still alive right in front of us. You know, it was very cool. And so that praying mantis, it had it pretty good for a couple months. Toward the end of the summer, we decided that we would let him go. So we opened up the cage and put it outside, and that praying mantis didn't want to go. He kind of liked this deal where he was getting fed every day. You know, he didn't even have to go hunt for anything. And so he just stayed in there for two or three more weeks. And then we discovered that he was actually a she. And there were hundreds of itty-bitty praying mantises that repopulated the neighborhood. Well, this whole story was kind of to lead up to a story that I heard about a spider who looked up at a praying mantis and said, "What are you doing?" The mantis said, "I'm praying." And the spider said, "That's stupid. Insects don't pray." And at that, the mantis swooped down and grabbed the spider in his claws, at which instantly the spider began, "Our Father who art in heaven." It's amazing how quickly negative circumstances can motivate us to pray, right? You see, some of us would never pray unless we were in a time of famine. Some of us would never show up at church unless our kids start acting crazy or our marriage goes on the rocks. And when you disconnect yourself from the source, sometimes God has to let you get to a place where you go, "This isn't working anymore." And so the son in this story tried to do what we all try to do when we get disconnected from the source. He tried to fix it himself. In verse 15 it says, "So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods and the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." He was disconnected from the source. And sometimes God will let your stuff dry up until you come to the end of your resources, and so you'll come back to the source. You'll come back to your senses. It says in verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father.'" Now, I know you've all heard this story many times. I've taught on it many times. And you know the father takes him back. But I want you to see it today from a different perspective, how he goes back to the source. Once he had tried every other resource, once he had come to the end of his own abilities, he said, "I know where I can go. I know where the source is. And it's not with these people. It's not with these pigs. I'm going home to my father. I'm going to the source, the one who I never should have left in the first place." Verse 18, it says, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him." And I believe God is speaking to some of you right now today. You haven't been able to see God in your situation. But God sees you. Even before you get close to coming home, he sees you. And it says he was filled with compassion for him. Maybe you've been far away from God and you've been wondering how God looks at you and you haven't wanted to come back. You're scared to come back because you don't know what you'll find and how is God going to look at you when you come back. And here's the answer. He's filled with compassion for you. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son started his speech that he had all rehearsed. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick." In other words, "Shut up, boy. You don't need to rehearse all your excuses. Quick. Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." You know, this is such a great story because every time I read it, I know that God is speaking and somebody is coming back to their senses. They're getting ready to come home. "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again." That part used to confuse me because he wasn't dead. He was just gone. But maybe to be gone is to be dead. Maybe to be separated from the source is to be dead in your spirit. And you see, we started today with Genesis 1:11, where God spoke and said, "Let the land produce vegetation." And so he spoke to the land, and the vegetation came forth. Then in verse 20, he spoke to the water, and said, let the water teem with living creatures, and the fish came forth. And then in verse 24, he spoke to the land again, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures, etc. And it was so. But when God got ready to create you and me, what did he speak to? Did he speak to the land or the water? In verse 26, he says, let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness. When God wanted to make you, he didn't speak to the land, he didn't speak to the water, he spoke to himself. Why? Because God is your source. God himself is your source. Not a person, not a position, not a bank account, not a job. God is my source. Now, if you take a plant out of the ground, if you take it out of its source, what's going to happen? After a little while, the plant dies. If you take a fish out of the water, out of its source, what's going to happen? After a little while, the fish dies. I was thinking of doing a practical illustration up here and bringing in a little aquarium and take a fish out and watch it flop around for a little while. But then I thought somebody might, you know, call the authorities for cruelty to animals, and you know, I can see the headlines now. Pastor gets arrested in church. Wouldn't be good. So you take the plant from the ground, you take the fish from the water, you take you from God. And what eventually happens? You die. Some of you are dying today because you're disconnected from your source. You're in a time of famine, and you haven't found your way back to the Father yet. And it's because we run around every day so busy with everything else. We get up in the morning and we take more time picking out our outfit than we do connecting with our source. And then we wonder why we have no peace. We worry about all kinds of things and we don't have enough. We don't feel provided for and we're disconnected from the source. But at some point, we can realize, just like the prodigal son did, I've got a father. I've got a father who has everything I need. And so I'm going back where I belong. I'm going back to the place where I know there is more than enough. And when you do that, God will bring you back to your rightful place. That's our last point this morning. God wants to bring you back to your rightful place. In verse 22, but the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring of authority on his finger and sandals on his feet. The father brought him back to his rightful place. He was reconnected to the source. God says, you don't have to write a speech before you come back. You don't have to rehearse your lines with all your excuses for why you've been away. Because the moment I see you, I'm going to come running to you. And you won't even have to ask for anything to eat because I'll overflow into your life like a river because I am your source. I'm the place that your help comes from. And 23 says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I wonder, will you celebrate too? God is saying to you this morning, I am your source. Whatever you need, whatever you're worrying about, whatever is keeping you up at night, whatever is keeping you from peace and joy, whatever you need, God says, if you need it, I am your source. I've got all the peace you need. I've got all the joy you can handle. I've got all the wisdom that you need. If you need it, I've got it. I'm the source. Come home to me and I'll meet your needs. I'm full of compassion. I'll celebrate when you get home. I don't care what people say about you. I don't care what they think about you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done or what you've lost. I will restore everything that you need. I can't wait to give you my grace. I can't wait to give you my compassion, my forgiveness, a new start, and meet all your needs because I am your source. We're going to end today by taking communion together. So I'd like those who are holding the communion elements to come on forward. We're going to celebrate God as our source as we start this new year, by remembering all that he did for us which is what we're commanded to do in communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I want to invite you to join in with us in communion. You don't have to be a member of this church. You do need to be a member of God's family, which means that you have begun to follow Christ, you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you're striving to follow him for the rest of your life. If you've done that, then the way we take communion is there'll be a line on each aisle. Come up, take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, and eat. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that before you even created the world, that you had already planned out how to meet all of our needs. We thank you that you are the unlimited source of power and provision and protection, of love and joy and peace. You're the God who forgives all of our sins. You're the God who heals all of our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pit, who crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. God, help us never forget all your benefits. And we confess that sometimes we've been disconnected from you. We've been disconnected from our source. And as a result, we worry, we lose our peace, we lose our faith. God, would you help us to put our trust in you? Would you help us daily to take time to reconnect with you, to put you first in our lives, to believe your promises for us, and remember your power to provide? Bring us back to our rightful place of authority as sons and daughters of the King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.